Okay, wow, okay. So, hey, this is Chris Osburn, and I'm here with Neil Davey, who I hope the leather on the the bench there making the lovely sound effects, but you never know. Here to do another episode of All Consumed.
Yeah.
And
where is
here? Well, we are at Riot.
With the very squeaky bonkers.
Yes. Yeah. We're here at Raya Asian Street Food, where we have all consumed the menu, all except maybe one or two items on it. We just downed a lot of food, and it was
amazing. All delicious. It was not very many pounds for the amount of things that we've eaten.
For the pounds we just gained.
Yeah,
so Raya Asian Street Food, top of the high street here in Walthamstow.
Yeah.
This is now my new favorite restaurant, or at least that I can walk to.
Yeah.
Been here once before, mentioned it on the podcast once before.
I think you did, yes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it to me without ever being here.
I picked it up from the joys of social media, when social media still has some positivity.
Still social.
So the excellent Lizzie Mabbott, long-time blogger under the name HoloLegs, and she was brought here, didn't expect much, and you wouldn't. As you say, judging by the looks,
pretty nonplussed kind of place. Yeah,
and the food is
not a lot.
Absolutely, food is fantastic.
Lunch on a Saturday, yeah, food's great. What were some of the highlights for you there, Neil?
The roti chennai was fantastic. I mean, and like a fiver,
yeah,
for two and a dal and a curry and a thing and the mee goreng.
That was really
those
yummy.
Noodles were great.
Nice,
the rendang was great. And also the chicken crackling, really liked.
That was very nice too. Yeah, and the curry puffs were quite nice.
Oh man, also, yeah, the curry puffs.
I forget the name of it, but I got this nice little ice coconut and jelly bits
that was
drink.
The Chendol, it's called.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was given a lesson in pronunciation by the
refreshing and tasty dessert / drink, very popular in Asia. Crushed ice, coconut milk, palm sugar, and green rice jelly noodle.
Uh-huh. I went for the tariq, which is incredibly sweet and condensed milky, but oddly delicious.
Yeah,
and quite refreshing. So yeah, no, feel very.
So I've been here once before. Definitely coming back, and I absolutely think I'm going to get that beef rendang again. Yeah. That was phenomenal.
It's good. I'm just like the value is exceptional. Nice little dining space.
They had to give us an extra table for all the food we ordered, and it was still cheaper than some much smaller lunches had recently.
Yeah. Really, really good. So yeah, definitely big thumbs up for me. So where else have you been?
Speaking of food I've had recently, one of my favorite restaurants, I can't even walk there. I've ridden my bike there before, though, actually, is Tofu Vegan.
Mm-hmm.
No secret, they're huge. They've got, I think they've got three locations.
I think it's,
Islington, High Street, so sort of near Highbury. I think they're around Spitalfields, and they also have a location, I think, in Golders Green, somewhere north London-ish.
That sounds familiar. Sounds about right.
But yeah, as the name says, tofu, big on the menu. Everything's vegan. They make their own tofu in-house, and it's really, everything's delicious. I've gone there for special occasions, my partner's birthday, my birthday, hey, let's celebrate, that sort of thing. And now they deliver. They're on Deliveroo, and they come to my flat, and it's just as good.
The Deliveroo guy, not the man making tofu.
No, they don't make the tofu in your home. They churn it on the back of the bike while they're coming to with the delivery. No, but I think pretty much everything on the menu in the restaurants is on online order, and just great. The silken tofu with the really spicy sauce is one of my favorite things ever.
Nice.
But the mapo tofu there is really great.
Really
nice dumplings. It's just a fantastic restaurant, and the fact that it can come hot and yummy to my home.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. So that's about the only other food.
Next time we see you on TV.
Next time. Yeah. That's really the only other food item I've got to mention. You've been eating well?
Yeah. Funny enough, I know one place we talked about going for a recording was Old Hag. in Islington. Finally made it down there the other day for breakfast. I know you had a bit of a disappointing experience with
it. It was good.
A pop-up, little frustrations. Had a similar frustrations. They lost my order, and after about 20 minutes of drinking coffee, I don't appear to have a breakfast sandwich. Mm. And for some reason, I haven't made it into the kitchen. But easily rectified. By way of apology, they doubled up on lawn sausage.
Oh, okay.
Which was never bad. It's never a bad way to appease me. Really good. Fantastic. We were surrounded by solo Scottish diners who appear to have discovered it like it's Brigadoon. And just kind of sitting on their own in different tables around the place, just smiling.
Having a moment.
Hugely to themselves. Just having a proper little moment. Yeah, they make their own kind of Scottish style breakfast rolls. You can have them in three different stages. There's either soft, crispy, or well fired. Lots of great Scottish ingredients from the even like McSween's vegetarian haggis.
Mm-hmm.
But really good lawn sausage, really good bacon, storn away black pudding, the only black pudding really counting.
Definitely the best.
Sorry, people from Bury, but it really is. Nice little coffee menu. There's three sandwiches at lunchtime and a fridge full of Scottish snacks and meats that you can take away. Really nice. Nicely done. Good value.
What's the square sauce? Lorne?
Lorne. Yeah, L-O-R-N-E. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, square beef sausage. Incredibly filling, particularly when they stick an extra one in bun, by way of apologies. Yes. But that was very, very good. But on the other extreme, also I went back to Lyle's.
Oh, okay. Celebrated 10 years, London restaurant.
10 years old now. Amazing. And I don't think I've been since the opening months,
okay.
Which was ridiculous. I've recommended it to loads of people. Understood it was still ticking along in a very happy way. It's a restaurateur friend of mine. Went out with Charles Campion to do a couple of things once, and Charles had this ability to. It was an Indian restaurant in Southall, and that fold out A4 laminated menu.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles read the menu. Man came over, said, "Are you ready to order?" And Charles handed him the menu back and said, "Yes," and ordered every single thing on the menu. So from there, and long, God bless his soul, we've referred to menus where you want to eat everything as very campionable.
Okay.
And the verb to campion. And Lyle's was somewhere where the first time we went at lunch, we definitely championed the menu, apart from the soup. It's very hard to share that.
Hard to share, yeah. I was looking at the soups on the menu here, actually. maybe not.
Yeah, but at dinner times, there is talk of them doing a la carte in the evenings. Dinner, it's a set menu.
Okay.
About 7-8 courses. It's just nice. It's just good. It's kind of ultra-seasonal, beautiful cooking. And James Lowe, I think, is still the man in the kitchen. Absolutely worthy. I think I've still got the Michelin star. I think it's just the one, but
just one.
Entirely worthy of it. Brilliant ingredients. Some left absolutely well alone. Other things just cooked to the absolute peak. And as I think we may have mentioned before, quite often of late, if I'm in a nice restaurant that's offering a wine pairing and they're offering a non-alcoholic pairing,
yes,
I've gone for the non-alcoholic pairing.
Okay.
Mostly because a lot of them are making their own stuff in-house.
Yeah.
And they're using ingredients that you're getting in the dish, so that from a food matching perspective, it's much closer, it's a much more satisfying experience.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
And same guys, there's a guy...
You're drunk all the time anyway.
Oh, precisely, yeah. Veins full of heroin, but zero alcohol. Yeah. It's the future. So this guy, Harry, I think his name was, who's taken on this kind of ferments and kombuchas and stuff, and they're making things. So at the end of the evening's session, he was telling us, he goes and collects leftovers, other bits and pieces that he can, like bits of fruit and things that haven't been used, and will make shrubs and vinegars and kombuchas and all sorts of stuff.
Very nice.
For these things. There's a lot of watermelon, like from a southern US perspective, lots of pickled watermelon, right?
Okay, yeah.
Fantastic, thank you very much. So you took that a little stage further and go, well, if we ferment it and make kombuchas. So there's a few things that had a little watermelon rind kind of in there, and just a mix of teas and all sorts of stuff. Really, really,
really
good.
Worked well, yeah.
Really, really nice. Good drinks. Just a lovely meal. Quite good value, I think, for what it is. It's about 119, I think, for the set menu.
Okay.
Something like 39 for the non-alcoholic pairing, which by London standards, Michelin star standards, really,
really
good.
Reasonable, yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant place. Really lovely, okay. Lovely front of the house. Great room. Yeah, proper.
Very nice.
Now, absolutely proper.
Mm-hmm. Been having any more yummy food?
That's a kind of it. Oh, we did finally went to Calais,
okay.
A Thai restaurant in Borough Market, which has been open about a year. Sister place to Som Sa, which we've been to a lot.
Yeah.
This is a kind of southern, I believe more southern style Thai food. Okay. A lot of coconut marinated things. So their signature dish is like the mussel skewer, so just really nicely marinated mussels, really spicy, lovely, quickly grilled, really, really good. But the other thing, also on the sustainable front, shrimp heads or prawn heads.
All right, yeah.
You can buy a bowl of crispy fried prawn heads.
There's a lot of restaurants just throw them away, don't they?
Try and do this. I struggle with the sucking of the head thing.
Yeah.
You can mash it into stuff, can't quite get purchase to actually do the thing. But yeah, this crispy fried, really, really good. I don't know, it's 4.50 or a fiver.
Uh-huh.
Really good beer snack.
Okay.
Should you be
very nice.
Feeling that way.
All right.
What about you, mate? What else have you...
Last weekend, I went up to Manchester. What am I... Just a fun city. I've never had a bad time in Manchester.
Great, great.
To see one of my all-time favorite musicians perform, Bonnie Prince Billy, also known as Will Oldham, also known as Palace Brothers, Palace Music. I've been listening to this guy make amazing music for like 30 years, definitely more than 25 years. Just never had a chance to see him perform. You know, either by the time I found out about it, it'd be sold out or just a little too far away. So when I found out about this tour he was doing around Europe, I was like, yes, finally. And I got to see him at an amazing music venue, New Century Hall. Acoustics were fantastic. Got there early enough to just get right up in the front row. I think he could feel the enthusiasm just beaming from me. And he was a great performer, really happy just to be there, connected with everybody. A lot of people there. Several hundred, I guess, by the time the show started. Kind of pared down, no percussion, so less, more of the folky stuff than the edgy rock stuff that he does, but just really good. Played a lot of old songs that I'm very familiar with. Mostly did stuff from his most recent album, and even that sounded familiar and good, and I've been listening to it a lot now. It's just fantastic. It was really good to see somebody that man's voice has just been in my head for decades, you know, and really influenced a lot of my moods and thoughts, and just really great music.
I know you asked me earlier if I was familiar with him. I know, and so a friend and his wife used to hang out with, and if they put music on before Shazam was a thing, they'd quite often ask, "What's this? What are we listening to?" And it was often Billy. And you're like, really need to. Just one of those acts that's got, as you say, been
very
around.
Very distinct sound.
Kind of been in the ether.
Yeah.
For
I went with my partner, and she was like, he doesn't have to scream to get your attention. But then when he does, it's so emotive. It's almost like flamenco, you know, really lets out a lot of emotion. Yeah. It's really amazing show. I do hope I get a chance to see him again.
Yeah.
Ate well while I was in Manchester. Went to this very nice.
Very hard not to in Manchester.
Yeah, that's true. But with my to the Allotment vegan eatery, very close to to New Century Hall,
nice.
By the way.
And very handy.
I had a really nice brunch there. Vegan. Everything's vegan, but I would be happy to take any meat eater mm-hmm. there because just everything is really yummy. And it's just a nice place to have a sort of Saturday brunch or like early lunch.
Did you stay over? Or did you
Spent the night there. So, you know, I went out on a Friday for the concert, spent the night, roamed around, had a nice time.
Nice.
Poked her head in a museum, walked around kind of the medieval area, took the train back.
So, when the trains are running, and the trains are good, like 2 hours back to London, it is exceptional. Like I said, funny enough, we
seems like a happier city, too. I don't know, for some reason I have this, like, doom and gloom perception of Manchester, but you go there, like, people just seem to be happy, and I think they're more stylish there, too, than London, honestly.
I think they are. I think this is it's an interesting thing that you say that, the doom and gloom. You've been pushing one of the projects I've working on this kind of TV thing and suggested that they go and film an episode of Manchester, and there was this kind of sort of pushed it and it's happening, and somebody went off and did a recce the other day, and then they came back and now they're talking about moving to Manchester, or the next time they come to London, or they're not going to go to London, they're going to go to Manchester. If they're going to come over to the UK for personal reasons, they're going to go to Manchester. And it's like, yes, I know.
It's
a really fun city. It has no, there's no front. There's
it feels like a city. Yeah. Very sort of urban and dense. And also, I probably have gone there, since living in the UK, probably go there every 4 or 5 years. And it just feels nicer and also more vertical. It's just, it's getting taller and taller. Yeah. It looks more like a city than most of London, honestly. Yeah.
No, it's, there you go.
Yeah.
Manchester. It's a hit. Yeah.
But I do still love London. Mm-hmm. As far as other performances I've seen, I went to a place I mentioned a lot on this podcast, the Barbican Center, to watch a film.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
A classic
film. I was gutted that I couldn't join you for this one.
Mothra. I think it's sold out. Mothra. Yeah. Early kind of Japanese monster flick. Ridiculous, but beautiful. Sort of silly and sublime, which is my favorite combination for anything. Really strong, powerful, anti-bad guy message. Anti-imperial. Pro-women in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. From like the early, like the either late 50s, early 50s. Was really interesting. Progressive attitude in this film.
Must be fun to see on the big screen.
Fun
as
to
well.
See on the big screen. Also fun to see when there's an opening band before the screening, and there was this band or performance group, Frank Chickens, I'm sorry, who just did a few numbers, choreographed goofy pop songs before it. Tons of people on stage dressed up like monsters or strange things, I don't even know, like writhing about, singing these silly songs, and then they even had like a theme song for the film.
Brilliant.
Their own sort of take on it, and then the film. It was amazing. It was part of this Japanese monster movie film fest, and everything else. My schedule's been really up in the air this past month, so I missed all of it except Mothra. But they had some really interesting.
Must keep an eye on it. I used to be so switched on to what was going on in London and random venues and bits and pieces. Whether it's because everything now kind of mailing list that I've signed up for via email, I just pop into the promotions tab.
Well, I get so many emails, I just like delete half of them before I read them,
And whether I just get lost in them. Like you need to start diarizing to actually have a look at.
Well, the Barbican has some great stuff. I'm happy with my membership.
Yeah.
A lot of memberships I'll have, I'll be like, why did I spend this money? But I feel like it's value for me when I do that.
No, I think every film should come with a live band, frankly.
Yeah. Been anywhere else?
So I went to Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
That was fun. Little work thing. Colorado now has a Michelin guide.
Okay.
So with an international group of journalists, which was quite nice. So somebody from Germany, someone from Mexico, Paris, Toronto, and Brisbane. And did a little run around Denver and Fort Collins and Aspen and Vail.
Nice. I've only seen Denver. I love Denver. That's the only part of Colorado I've been to.
Really, really interesting. I mean, so once we got out to the Colorado National Monument, this kind of Grand Canyon-esque, classic Western scenery, absolutely jaw-dropping. Okay. Really good brewing scene, a lot of good produce. The one of the hooks for the reason we were there. Anybody, if anyone follows me on Instagram, just put something up this week. The Palisades Peach.
Palisades Peach is
a big. I know this could be, whatever, red rag to a bull from Georgia.
No.
But yeah, so one of the finest peaches to come out of the US, apparently. Is the Palisades
Peach.
They only have something like 3% of the market, I think it was. But yeah, absolutely delicious. Went to the Palisades Peach Festival. I love the random US food festival. I love the random UK food festival. The random world food festivals. Have a big list of things I really want to get to, including there's an Indugia festival somewhere in Italy I was told about. There's a chickpea festival somewhere else. Just loads of random things. Yeah, Palisades Peach Festival happens every year in Palisades. Lots of peach-themed stands and peach-themed booths and peach-themed cooking demos.
Cheeky double entendre.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. Yeah. We're going to avoid the Aubergine Festival for the very same reason. Lovely part. Well, glorious weather. Very good beers. Brilliant produce.
Have any peach
great
beer?
Cooking. I didn't, but it was absolutely available.
Okay.
Did have a very good peach, bacon, and cheese toasted sandwich.
That sounds all right.
In a kind of Cubano style, that kind of really thin, crispy, kind of panino style bread. That was pretty damn good. Yeah, I mean, the Michelin stuff was nice. That was really good. I think that was kind of... That's kind of it. And then just plotting to this week, I get to do something that I know you've done several times before, is judge at the World Steak Challenge.
Oh, that's right, man. Yeah, I did that, I think, 3 years in a row, World Steak Challenge. I think two times here in London and then once in Ireland.
Right.
So you're going to this?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
For this one. So yeah, I think it's every
steak
year
and
or so.
Bake.
So we'll see.
We'll see. All right.
Not ruling it out, but yeah, I think relatively full schedule. There's like a dinner the first night, then the day of judging, and then the joy of anything that happens in Amsterdam is like an hour
city,
to get back.
Yeah. You're gonna enjoy that, man. It's really interesting. It's a bit daunting because you're like tasting all these different the same cut of steak over and over again, but you'll be so amazed at how just different terroir, different location, different breed will result in completely different flavors.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's all going to be good too.
That's the thing. I mean, you've got to be confident enough to put your stuff forward for an award like that. As I'm excited, a few years ago, I was lucky enough. I was at Gaucho one morning, and for the family meal, the chef decided. He said, "Oh, tell you what, let's do one of every steak." So we got to compare. Yeah. Fillet and rump and ribeye and sirloin.
It's a hard life.
But it's one of those things I would always, if you can work out, if you are a meat eater, if you are a steak eater, if you can find a way of going somewhere and ordering every cut of beef that they have on the menu as a comparison, really interesting. Everything is so, so different. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing the variations within one cut.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts about being a judge on the World Steak Challenge.
I think that
was something I used to love to throw out at people. Well, what'd you do this weekend? Well, I was a judge at a steak competition. Best steak. You'll find it's some really interesting variation. Obviously, when it gets to that level where they're competent enough to have it judged by experts such as you, it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Yes. And that'll be interesting. And so I like things like that. So I'll judge.
See, I have to call you an expert to
confirm
that I'm an expert too.
I guess. Oh, what's that playing underneath us at this point?
Oh, well, before I do this, can I just mention one more thing, bringing it back to where we are now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just down the street, and very near my flat that I own is brand new Banksy.
Yeah,
so that was something I really enjoyed, just walking down, seeing it there. It's these pelicans on the side of a fish and chip shop, Bonner's, which was a great place for fish and chips even before it became an iconic street art destination. And they're kind of playing with the signage that's already there, throwing fish in their mouth and everything. And he did this whole string of the animal.
Yeah, there's lots of animal stuff, yeah.
People said it was a little bit lame, but I thought it was great introducing kids to art, thinking about the lives of animals. I think a couple of them, particularly the one at the zoo, was a little more political and ethically minded. But it's just fun to see that in my hood.
It's good. It's nice. It's lasted in public. There's been a lot of places where things seem to have been taken down or stolen or,
taken down for their own protection. It's probably being dismantled right now, as we speak. But I think it's celebrated as something.
Somebody's tagging it, drawing a moustache on a pelican. Yeah, it's
and, like, now I'm looking at what the folks on the table next to us are eating. I'm trying to get hungry again. Like they got the grilled chicken.
Maybe we should fade up that music. It sounds a lot like emo.
Yes, the year was strange.
Indeed.
Yeah, and this was a great episode. Thank you, Neil.
If people want to follow what you're up to at the time,
Chris Osborne on Instagram. I think I'm down on Threads too. Sometimes I do stuff on there. And my blog, if there's anything new on there, is tkchris.com. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, no, generally Instagram these days, DimeCard as ever. I think I'm back up. Well, we're getting back up to date. So there will be some snake stuff on there this week, I'm sure. So, fantastic. What a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Neil.
Cheers, Chris.